We appreciate them. And boy, I'll tell you, when you're not here, boy, are you missed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, wow. We've been, for the last several weeks, we've just been methodically going through the pieces of the armor of God, and what they are, how to use them, and all those kinds of things. And today we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. That's that. Good job, buddy. That's that. That's that. And how you handle that will determine largely how your life, how effective your life is throughout this walk here on planet Earth. Amen? Father, Lord, I know you're in this place. We've already experienced that. Lord, we sense your presence. Lord, you said where two or three agree touching any one thing. You said when we come together, you would inhabit the praises of your people. And so, Lord, we've been praising you. So we know that you're in this house today and we're grateful. But God, this preacher needs your anointing. I need your touch on my life, God. I need you to take that coal from the altar, God. Touch these old lips of clay. God, set something in me on fire today, God, to communicate your word to your people, Lord, whether in this room or by way of the internet today, that God, some way, somehow, Lord, you would be glorified and that your people would come to a deeper understanding of what your word is and how to use your word in their life. And the Father, I thank you for it, and I give you all the glory and the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that you'd anoint your people, God, because your people need to be anointed to receive your word today. And so, God, I release your anointing over these people today, whether watching by way of the internet or whether they're in this house today, God. Let your anointing be poured out on your people and on this preacher. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Glory to God. My wife is in here. I just said it over here gently. Wow. You guys could tell me that she didn't leave the building. That would help. I get in trouble for throwing my coat. What a crowd. What a crowd. Listen, man. The sword of the Spirit. Whew. I wrote this down, but I really do pray that you've enjoyed this series on the armor. But way more than enjoying something, I pray that today, some way, somehow, through this series, you've been able to grab a hold of something and add it to, if I can use this word, your arsenal. Your arsenal of things that we need to do battle and to walk and to live in the day and age that we find ourselves living in today. Amen. Listen, we are living in a world that is hostile to the Word of God. We're living in a world that is hostile to you naming the name of Jesus Christ. We're living in a world today that society had their way, we would never say Merry Christmas. I'm sick to death of hearing Happy Holidays. Fooey on Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. It ain't about a holiday. It's about a king. It's about a baby in a manger, and his name's Jesus. The sword of the Spirit, this piece of the armor is one of, if not the most critical piece of all of the armor. It is critical. It is crucial. It is vital. It is what you and I have to have. The sword of the Spirit is a unique piece of the armor for two very important reasons, and we're going to look at them today. Number one, it's the only piece of the armor that Paul actually describes in Ephesians chapter 6. He names the rest of them, but he doesn't describe the rest of them. Listen to what he says. He just says the belt of truth. He just names the shield of faith, those kinds of things. But the sword of the Spirit, he describes, he goes on to say, it is the Word of God. Amen. That speaks to something of importance of this piece of the armor. It is the Word of God. How many times have we heard people say, well, God just doesn't ever speak to me. You know what automatically goes off in my mind? You're not reading.
Amen.
You ain't reading because if God's not speaking to you, you're not listening to Him. You're not in God's Word. How can He speak to you? Yes, He speaks to us through His Spirit. I get all that. But listen, for somebody to just say, well, God never speaks to me, it's probably because you're not in His Word. The other reason this piece is unique is because it's the only piece of the armor that is used for the offensive mode. Everything else is defense. Shield of faith, helmet, shoes. Those are all defensive pieces, but the sword of the Spirit is for the offensive. All the rest is defensive. This one, offensive. So here we have an offensive weapon, and not an offensive, an offensive. Because when you're offended, but when you're an offense. Gotta be careful how these old Myrtle Creekian lips punctuate stuff. Amen? So this offensive weapon at the end of this list of defensive weapons means that Paul is telling us to withstand the attacks of the enemy. In order to do so, we won't always take a defensive posture. How many of you ever watch football? Amen? I don't watch too much football anymore, but I've watched a little bit of football. How many times have you ever seen the defense win a football game? It happens. It happens. The defense wins football games. Intercept passes, recover fumbles, those kinds of things. But they're not, by and large, the scorers of the team. It's the offense, the quarterback, the running back. You know, those are the guys that score the points. They're on the offense. And church, sometimes you and I are going to have to take the offense. Listen, we got to come to a place in our life where we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I need some running room. We just got to come to the place where we are sick and tired of being sick and tired. I know whom I am. I'm a king's kid. I'm above and I'm not beneath. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm sitting in her barn. Under a cow milking and we had baling twine hanging from the ceiling and you put a loop in it around the cow's tail because you don't want that thing slapping you upside the head, I promise you. Glory. I'll tell you what, that's guacamole you don't want to eat a bucket full of. You're the head and not the tail. This being on the offensive means moving forward. It means moving forward. It means being proactive. It means being proactive. It means maintaining your posture of victory. You did not hear what I just said. Listen, you gotta maintain, what even is your posture of victory? What is that even about? I know that I'm on the winning team. Amen. When I was in grade school, when I was in elementary school, I was not the first guy to get picked for the team. At the end of I want Johnny and I want Fred and I want Frank and I want Billy and I want Timmy. When everybody else was gone, I just went to the next team. I was the last dog in the play. Amen? That ain't me no more. I'm on the winning team and I know that I'm on the winning team. I have to maintain my posture of victory. We ought to have a smile on our face, church. How you doing today, buddy? I'll tell you right now, I'm blessed. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm rejoiced. How you doing? Oh, you know. I'm doing all right under the circumstances. Well, I thought you was a child of God. Well, I am. Well, then what are you doing under the circumstances? You better learn how to maintain your posture of victory. It might look like I'm getting the snot beat out of me, but then inside I'm still winning. It might look like I've been beat down. I'm bleeding to death. But you know what? I still know at the end of this thing, I'm going forward. I am moving forward. I'm going to maintain my posture of victory. That's what standing firm is. It don't mean standing and staying where you are. It means you maintain the position that you've been given in Christ Jesus. Hear what I'm saying, church. You and I have got to begin to maintain the position that we've been given in Christ. I want to just jump. Can I just tell you something? I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm anointed of God. I know all of that. But sometimes the devil will come and say, you ain't nothing. He said that to me yesterday. I presided over a funeral yesterday of one of the most prominent guys in our city, and I felt so less than doing it until it all started. And then I just felt the anointing of God come, and I preached. I mean, I didn't preach a lot. I just, you know. God's going to use you and I. And the devil's going to say all kind of stuff to you to get you to shut up and sit down. I'm telling you to stand up, maintain your posture of victory, and move forward. Maintain the position you've been given in Christ. The hard-won ground of victory, church, we have in Christ that He bought for us with His blood. That's the posture that you and I are to maintain. And whatever it takes to maintain it, that's what you and I have got to do. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. It might not look good on the outside, but on the inside. Amen? We got to be active and even proactive and even sometimes be on the offensive as so that we can take ground, take down and tear down the strongholds of the enemy by the power of God. Amen? Any lofty thing. We talked about this. There was five of us yesterday in our men's breakfast, and I'm telling you, it was a scary little meeting. Because we talked about things that we just don't talk about too much. And five guys got a little open about their life and laid some things out. Listen, I'm telling you, it starts up here. We've got to begin to take captive every thought. Any lofty thing that's been raised up by the enemy in your mind and in your heart and in your soul that is against the knowledge of God, you better get on the offensive. You better pull it down in the name of Jesus. You are not setting up shop in my head. It ain't happening. The sword was used both to protect and to fight and to slay the enemy. The sign of the Christian soldier is the use of the Word of God. Did you hear what I just said? The sign of the Christian soldier is his use of the Word of God. By living in the Scripture, we protect ourselves from the onslaught of the enemy. And we fight and we win battle after battle, day after day. Remember this, Jesus Christ Himself overcome the onslaughts of the devil by using the Scriptures. He said, hey, it is written. It is written. He didn't discuss it with the devil. He didn't say, well, this is the way I see it. This is how I feel. He said, hey, it's written. Hey, it's written, devil. And then finally he's like, you know what? Just get behind me. Get out of here. Away from me. And the angels came. Listen, you and I have got to stand up and we've got to fight, church. We've got to begin to fight. The written word is the one weapon that assures victory for the Christian soldier, because the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. You and I are cut to the heart when the word convicts us of our sin. You ever read a passage of Scripture? Oh, that's just the most beautiful passage. That's just wonderful. I just love that so much. It just ministered to me. It's just wonderful. Anybody ever read that? 2 months later, you go back, you read that same passage of Scripture because it's just so nice, and it just goes. You're like, I didn't see that coming. It's true. Paul tried to use the sword to defend, Peter tried to use the sword to defend Jesus in the garden, but he learned at Pentecost that the sword of the Spirit does a much better job. I said this on Wednesday night. We talked about the sword of the Spirit a little bit on Wednesday night, and we talked about, and I asked this question. I said, how do we use the Word of God? What do we do with the Word of God? Moses tried to conquer with a physical sword. But using God's word only makes it sharper in our lives. A material sword pierces the body, but the word of God pierces the heart. Church, I'm gonna tell you this. You gotta know how to use the word of God. I don't mean to freak anybody out or scare anybody, but I have here an empty weapon. There's nothing in it. I've cleaned it. I've checked it. I've made sure. And I want you to settle down, brother. I want you to know that if you do not know how to use this weapon, if you don't have what is needed to go with this weapon in here to make it an effective weapon. If you don't know what you're doing with one of these, all you're going to do is destroy people and possibly yourself. It is only until this gun is put together with that ammunition and a round is racked into the firing chamber that this becomes effective. The only way it becomes really and truly effective is when you know how to use it and what it's used for. The Word of God, I'm telling you right now, if you don't use the Word of God in prayer, you can take the very Word of God and I can take that Word and I can cut you to pieces with it. I could beat you up one side and down the other. It hurts people. It doesn't do you any good. You've got to know how to use God's Word. You've got to know what God's Word is there for. You've got to know how to apply it in situations. The more you use a physical sword, the duller it becomes. But by using God's Word, it makes it sharper and sharper and sharper. God's Word will raise up inside of you. Your mouth will be filled with God's Word, and you'll be able to bathe it in love and be able to apply it in situations, and you'll begin to see people's lives set free because you've used correctly the Word of God. That's why God said you're to study, to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Because too many people go off half-cocked. It's true. Do you know Jesus? No? Well, you're going straight to hell. That's true. What I just said is true. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. But that's not the way you win converts. You're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell over there. Oh, you're going to hell right there. Well, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, no, I don't. Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what He did for me. And you just begin, listen, you're the only one that knows your testimony like you know your testimony. I ain't got enough time today to tell you my testimony. But it's a good one. I remember in Myrtle Creek at the Assembly of God on Christmas, our kids, the kids in the children's church were putting on this program and our oldest boy, they had to say something they're thankful for about Christmas, and Josh gets up there and he said, "I'm thankful for my dad because he beats the tar out of me." Exactly what he said. He said, "My dad spanks me. He takes us out to the garbage shed and he fires us up. And I know he loves me because that's why he does that. Because he always tells me, 'I only do this because I love you.'" I'm under the pew hiding. I know the cops are coming for me or something, man. Huh? Yeah, he said he is a better boy because of it. And I think I missed one or two somewhere along the line. That kid, you never know what they're going to say. My. The Spirit wrote the Word, church. Listen, the Spirit wrote the Word. A physical sword requires the hand of a soldier, but the sword of the Spirit has its own power. According to Hebrews 4:12, it is living and it is in fact powerful. The Spirit wrote the Word. The Spirit wields the Word as we take it by faith and we use it. A physical sword wounds to hurt and to kill, while the sword of the Spirit wounds to heal and to give life. It's a rude awakening sometimes. It's almost hurtful when somebody all of a sudden realizes, because listen, I'll just be frank with you. When I was a sinner, I was really, really good at it. Hello. I was good at it. I practiced it a lot. I rehearsed it. I went over it and over it and over it. I was good at it. And when somebody says, "Hey, there's a better way. These things that you're doing, all the way you talk, that doesn't bring glory and honor to God. There's some things in your life that have to change." And how many of you know that can be hurtful? Oh, man. The sword of the Spirit wounds to heal. When you went and had surgery just here recently, it hurt when you got out of that. There was some pain involved. We all know about that. But the healing process begins. And when it's all over, all of a sudden, hey, I feel great. That's the way it works. But when we use the sword against Satan, we are in fact out to deal him a blow that will cripple him and keep him from hindering the work of God. That's the stand therefore stuff we were talking about. You've got to maintain your position in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we just have to be on the offensive. The sword that Paul is describing here as the sword of the Spirit is modeled after the short sword that the Roman soldier had on his belt. Remember the belt? We talked about the belt of truth. We talked about the fact that the belt of truth is the foundational piece of the armor that helps and supports the core of everything else. So this sword was used for close combat. Often when the enemy was right up in your face. Had the devil ever been up in anybody's face besides the preacher? He'll get right in your face and scream at you and call you everything but a milk cow. "You're worthless, you're this, you're that, you're something else." Listen, no you're not. You're a child of the Most High God. You're a king's kid. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're above and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. Are you getting the picture? That's who you are. Sometimes the enemy of your soul is in fact going to be right up in your face. And when he does, we're going to have to use the sword of the Spirit and take him out. Take him out. When we see the enemy at work in our families, in our jobs, and yes, even in our church. Even in the church. We see it happen. It seems that the enemy is delivering blow after blow to our children, to our friends, and to our family. And it's then that we have to take out the dagger and use it and take out the offense of the enemy. We've got to stop it. It's exactly what Paul was talking about in Ephesians 6 and 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. We got to put on the armor of God. It is, in fact, an absolute necessity. It is an absolute necessity. Listen, the devil's always been around. Bad guys have always been around. Amen? When we were kids growing up, the police officers, they just wore their uniform and probably their gun and a billy club and a, you know, and all that. Today, they've got all kinds of stuff. They got flak jack, you know, bulletproof stuff, all this stuff. They've got cameras that they wear all the time to document everything that happens because, you know, everybody's out to pad their pockets or what. I mean, there has to be some level of documentation. We're living in that kind of a day. We're living in a society that would like to shut down the church. You better have the armor on. That's what dude over there in the corner's for. That's what we ought to look like in the spiritual realm. Every day. You must put on the armor of God. It is an absolute necessity. I want to talk about it. Why is it a necessity? Why? Well, I'll tell you, it's because of the evil day. If we can't look around today and see that the world that we live in is evil, Wednesday night, after Bible study, I went to go home, and Tammy said, "Why don't you just swing by Tommy's, get yourself something to eat, call it a day." Perfect. So I go to Tommy's, order me a hamburger, ordered her a hamburger, French fries, the whole deal. Outside is this little gal with this dog. And she's just crying. She's on the phone. She's crying her eyes out. And I just, you know, being real reverend-y, I just act like she wasn't there. And I went into Tommy's and I got me a burger and some French fries and I'm going home because, bless God, I've got to get up in a few hours. So when I came out, this little gal says, "Sir, can you take me to the police station?" And I said, "Okay." I said, "What's going on?" She said, "My friends, they just left me here." She had nothing. She had no purse. She had nothing. They just flat left her. Her and a dog, her friends. And she said, "Could you just take me to the police station?" So I took her to the police station and dropped her off. I stayed with her until the police actually showed up and they took it from there. That, when your friends just drop you off, you better check your friend list. You might want to unfriend them. Yeah. I mean, she was from L.A. going to Washington, and they just drop her off in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. That's evil. That's just evil. I don't care what she did. Or anything else. You don't just drop somebody off and leave them. Why is the day evil? Well, that the word, the day, the evil day refers to today. The onslaught of evil that is in the world today, the days are evil. Listen, I don't mean to get political, but look, you don't have to look very far in our news to see that our country is being run right now by a bunch of evil people. They want to do anything they can to stop the Word of God from being... They want to take the Word of God out of the Constitution, out of our mantra, the Ten Commandments, all that stuff that our country was founded on. It's an evil day. So it refers to today, and it refers to any day, to the onslaught of the temptations and the trials that confront us at any given moment during the day. I don't know if you've ever seen these commercials on TV that, you know, these scantily clad ladies are crawling up the beach with hardly nothing on. And it's a cookie commercial. They're selling Snackwell cookies. It's like, for crying out loud, are they that bad that you've got to provoke somebody with that? It's true. It's the day that we live in. The onslaught of temptation, the trials that confront us at any given moment. So it refers to today, to any day, and it refers to the day, oh my goodness, of unusual temptation and trial. We don't see any of that. Unusual, anybody? Unusual temptation? Trials? Tribulation? To a special onslaught and a barrage of evil that is thrown against us? Listen, we've got to withstand the day of evil. We cannot stand unless we have done our duty, and unless we have obeyed and prepared ourselves, unless we have taken up the whole armor of God, you're not going to be able to stand. You're not. You're not as tough as you think you are. You're not as smart as you think you are. You're not protected like you think you are unless you're wearing the armor of God. Look at what it says in Romans 13 and 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off all the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That's God's Word. Listen, church, you don't need any more Bible studies on Bible study. Did you hear what I said? We don't need any more Bible studies on Bible study. We need Bible studies that highlight the Word of God and how to use the Word of God. We've got to have Bible study that says, hey, this is the roadmap for your life. Listen. We need to apply what we already know. We need to apply what it is that we know and do what it is that the Word of God is telling us to do. Can I tell you something, church? There would not be room. There would not be one empty seat in this house if we were doing what I just said. Well, I got a great amen out of that deal. I'll just go ahead and read it again for you, because maybe you was talking to your neighbor and didn't hear what I said. We need to apply what it is that we know and do what the Word of God is telling us to do. Well, what does it tell us to do? It tells us to go ye into all the world. My job as pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Well, that's what we're paying you all the big bucks for. Well, here's a news break. You're not. You're not. My job is to get God's Word in you so you can take God's Word outside and talk to people and bring them in. And when we begin to do what God's Word's telling us to do, this place will be overflowing. Let me share with you that there are three different words used in the original Scripture translated the Word of God. These three words will give us a good idea of what this dagger is that actually works effectively against the enemy of our life. The first word is graphe, G-R-A-P-H-E, graphe, or graphy, or however you say it. It means the words on a page. See those black words on this page? That is graphy. It means the words on the page, the ink, the paper, literally the book. But that's not what Paul is referring to when he says the sword of the Spirit. That's not what he's talking about. So there's another word that's used when describing the Word of God, and that is this word logos. Logos is the message of the graphe, the message of the ink and the paper. That's what logos is. It's when we understand what it is saying, when it's explained. That's logos. When you go from this place after hearing me ramble for 15 or 20 minutes or an hour, whatever it is, and you walk away from here going, that was good. I got something out of that. That's logos. It's the same word used in Hebrews 4 and 12. For the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, the joints of marrow and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. See, it's what helps you and I see and understand what it is that my flesh wants and what the will of God is, because those are often two different things. It helps you and I to get a clear picture of what our life really is. But again, that's not what Paul's talking about. It's not what he's referring to when he says the sword of the Spirit. The word that he's using here in this passage is rhema. Rhema. It's the rhema word of God. It's the utterance of God. It's the spoken word of God to you in your life. The best way to describe this is when the pastor or the evangelist is preaching and all of a sudden you feel like you're the only one in the room. All of a sudden you wonder, did the pastor bug my house? How does he know what's going on in my life? That, my friend, is rhema. That is the rhema word of God. Rhema is what Jesus used against the enemy in Luke chapter 4 in the first 13 verses. It's Christ used the word of the Spirit and he defeated the enemy. Three times Jesus said, it is written. Listen, it is rhema. That is what Mary treasured in her heart in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, where it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them. She knew that it was something of God. It was something of a message that was just to her. It was just from God. It was just to her. It was to help her with all that was going. How would you like to be a 15 or 14 year old little girl that God chose you to be the mother of His Son? I'm not even married. What's everybody going to think? Be it unto me, she said, as you have declared. Listen, the rhema is what has power. Rhema is what the sword of the Spirit is. The better you know the Word of God, the easier it will be for you to detect Satan's lies and reject his offers. We talked about this a little bit yesterday at our men's breakfast, and we talked about how literally, how in our world, we feel like it is unfair that God would allow the enemy to come to you and I as an angel of light. Now, that just seems unfair. That just seems unfair. But let me just tell you something. If we will get God's Word down in our heart and let the Spirit of God have its way in our life, we will know when the angel of light is just a dud. Amen? It ain't the true light. It ain't the true light. Rhema is what has power. In one sense, the whole armor of God is really nothing more than a picture of Jesus Christ. We need to put on Christ. In John 14 and 6, it says that Christ is the truth. It says over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 that He is our righteousness. In Ephesians 2 and 14, He says, and He is our peace. In Galatians 2 and 20, it says His faithfulness makes possible our faith. In Luke 2 and 30, He said He is our salvation. And in John 1 and John 14, He is the Word of God. It means that when we trusted Christ, we received the armor. He didn't say, well, you know what? You're good to see you on part of the team here. You can have, you know, a belt. Put a belt on. No. When you bow at the cross, you get the full meal deal. You get the armor. You get it all. You get the sword. You got everything you need. Paul told the Romans what to do with the armor in Romans 13, 11 through 14. He said, wake up! Church, some of y'all need to wake up. Some of you watching by way of the internet today, in the most kind and loving, heartfelt way I can, let me just tell you, wake up! Wake up. Because the night is far spent. The night is far spent. He said, wake up. In Romans 13 and 11, this one ain't going to feel very good, but too bad. Remember, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church and he says, cast off sin. Get out of it. Get away from it. Yeah, but I like it. I know you do. I did too. I was good at it. But cast it off. Get it behind you. Get it away from you. Romans 11 or Romans 13 and 12, he says, put on the armor of light. Let me just read this whole passage for you. Romans 13, 11, starting 13, 11. And do this. That's a nice way to start, isn't it? You might want to think about, if you feel like it, if it feels good, no. And do, that's a command. It's a direct command. And do this. Knowing the time, comma, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation, is nearer than when we first believed. And the church said, amen. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly. Let us walk properly. How do you walk properly? Get in God's Word. You'll figure it out. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, and drunkenness. Have they bugged? Did they bug my home back in the day? Not in revelry and drunkenness. Not in lewdness and lust. Not in strife and envy. Verse 14, one of the best buts in all of Scripture. But the conversation changes from the indictment to the blessing. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make... Oh, this is where we get in trouble. This is where we get in trouble, church. Make no provision for the flesh. Well, maybe I'll just peek. Maybe I'll just make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We do this by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put Him on. You put Him on. May I suggest that you don't take Him off. Don't take Him off. Put Him on. By faith, to put on the armor and to trust God for the victory. It might look like you're getting beat up. It might feel like you're getting beat up. All the evidence might point toward the fact that you're losing the battle. But I'm telling you, as we walk with the Lord, we win. you will win. Once and for all, we have to put on the armor at the moment of salvation. Once and for all, put it on. Piece by piece, Lord, this morning, on purpose, before I even get out of this bed, I'm putting on the belt. Lord, I'm putting the belt of truth on around me, the foundational piece of my armor. I'm putting it on, Lord. God, I'm taking up the shield of faith. I'm attaching it. I'm locking it on to the belt of truth. Lord, I'm putting my shoes on. I'm having my feet shod with the preparation and the readiness of the gospel. Lord, I've got the sword or my helmet the helmet of salvation. And I'm taking up the shield of faith. Every morning, on purpose, I'm doing this. There has to be a daily appropriation. Every day, we've got to do it. We've got to set aside time. Listen, if you don't set aside time to eat, you'll starve to death. If you don't set aside time to eat, you will starve to death. I can't tell you every meal that Tammy's ever cooked for me, but I know one thing. Every one of them has some way or another nourished me and given me strength to carry on. We're never out of the reach of the enemy's devices. You're never out of the reach of the enemy's devices. So you and I must never be without the whole armor of God. We need to wear salvation like a crown. It's a helmet, but we need to wear it like a crown. Bow your heads with me, church. People, pray. Pray. That person sitting next to you may very well have needed to hear this message this morning. Those watching by way of the internet today very well may have needed to hear exactly this message. Bow your heads, pray, seek God. Father, this morning I've said what you've asked me to say. God, I've done what you've asked me to do. And Father God, I just simply submit this message to you through your Holy Spirit, that you would apply this message to our hearts and to our lives. God, that we would be mindful every day that there's a world out there, that there's an enemy that your word describes as roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. God, he's out there and he's looking for us and he's after us and he wants to maim us and he wants to destroy us. He wants to kill us. He wants to rob us. He wants to defeat us, Lord. Lord, all those kinds of things, God. But Lord, if we have the armor on, God, if we're wielding the sword, if we would just use it to do battle on your behalf, God, our lives can be changed at the cross. Can I tell you, church, that it's the cross that is beckoning us to come unto Him. Oh, he said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Can I tell you today, church, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to. You need to. You will not make heaven your home without declaring Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You will not make heaven your home. Well, preacher, I've just been too bad. No, you haven't. Well, you don't know how bad I've been. Well, you don't know how bad I've been. I know this. I know that God's Word says this. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Yeah, but what about all my sin? Pretty simple. He said, your sins, your transgression, I will remember no more forever. I'm banking on that one. I'm banking on that one. He said, I'll remove your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And I'll remember them no more forever. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People are praying in this place today. Let me ask you this question. Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? If Jesus came today to rapture the church out of here, would you be left in your chair or would you be gone? It's your decision. It's your decision. He's made a way for every one of us. He's made a way for every one of us. And He's asking you today. He's using me as His mouthpiece. And He says, ask them if they know me as Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ today as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up because I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you that God's going to write your name down. I know He will because He did it for me. If you're watching today by way of the internet and this message is somehow conveyed to you that you need Jesus, if you'll just pray this simple prayer, if you'll just say, God, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, I'll serve you and I'll follow you all the days of my life. If you prayed that simple prayer, I promise you, you're just as saved as the next person. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. I confess my sins. I ask you to cleanse me of my sins. Forgive me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Would you just leave us a note saying, hey, I received Jesus today? We want to know. We want to be able to communicate with you. We love you. I love each and every one of you today. I thank you for being here. I hope that some way rhema got in you today. I hope some way, somehow, the rhema word of God got in you today so that you can leave this place and say, hey, I've got something of God's word in me. Amen? Father, I love you today. I thank you for each and every one in this room. I pray, God, that you would watch over us, that you would keep us safe, that you would bring health and wholeness in our lives, in our minds, in our physical bodies, and in our spirit. God, make us absolutely whole. And for that, we'll give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your week.